Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. I do want to say while you're turning, we appreciate you for the offering, and God bless you for that. Sometimes I just get so cranked up and carried away and ready to go, and I don't even say those things. But we appreciate you so much. Appreciate you, your pastor, his wife, and all of you. Amen. And glad that you are here. Matthew chapter 21, verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. He came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." He answered and said, "I will not." But afterward he repented and went. He came to the second and said, "Likewise." And he answered and said, "I go, sir," and went not. Amen. You can be seated if you want to. You don't have to. Nobody said you had to. Amen. We live in a world, Brother Danny, where distance is a key factor in just about anything we do. Especially in today's world, fuel prices went up so much, gas price went up so much, and now they've lowered it, and we feel like we're lower than we've ever been for a while. But distance is a key factor. Distance is what we judge and what helps us make up our mind whether it's worth it to go or worth it not to go. Amen. And the simple definition of distance is simply the extent of space, especially between two points. The degree of difference that separates things in their relationship. Amen. In our parable we read represents two sorts of people. It simply represents some that prove better than they promise, and others that promise better than they prove. Amen. You ever met folks just like that? They'll say one thing and do another. Or they'll do one thing and say another. Amen. We're just people all over the place like that. But I want you to notice these two sons both have the same father. They both have the same command. And the command was, go work in my vineyard. Amen. Oh yeah. Listen, God has set His children to work in this hour. He's gave us jobs to do. And there's something for all of us to do. And somebody said, well, I really don't feel that it's important. But I want you to understand that the work of salvation, amen, in this vineyard is credible. It's profitable. Come on here. I mean, it's something. It's pleasant. Somebody said, well, I don't see how it's much pleasant, but oh, living for God is pleasant. Oh, yeah. I mean, when trouble comes and situations arise, we've got a God to go to that'll come to where we are, no matter what our situation is. I mean, it's credible to work for God. It's profitable to work for God. Oh, yes. Amen. But I want you to understand something here. Somebody said, which leads us to what I want to preach on. Somebody said, preacher, that's just simply too far for me to go. I just can't go that distance. I just can't go that far. I just can't make that route. There's too much space between me and where you want me to be. There's too many things that I've got to get to. I just cannot go that far. But I want you to understand, any time that we're doing something for God, it's never too far to go. I said it's never too far to go. When God is involved, it's worth the distance. It's worth the mile. It's worth the travel. It's worth the heartache. It's worth the sorrow. Amen. To go where God is. Amen. Very first thing that we must do, this call required obedience. Simple obedience. Amen. He didn't call, as the parable stated, He didn't call these two boys, these two men, to become idle and assemble themselves in the vineyard and stand there and look at the work. Amen. He said, son, go work. Why did He say go work? Because there was work already there. It was something already there to do. Oh, come on here. I mean, you look out across this country, and there's people dying lost on every corner. There's people that need to hear about Christ everywhere you turn. There's people that need to hear God. They need to be with God. They need to be in the house of God. And how many times do we pass them by and say, Lord, I just can't go that far. I just can't bring myself to talk to them about God. I just can't bring myself to go that far, to go where they are. Listen here, I want you to understand. I'll say again, it's the obedience that makes it credible and profitable. It's obedience. What is it that's better than sacrifice? The Bible said obedience is better than sacrifice. People say, well, I'll just give this up and I'll give that up. I'll do this and I'll do that. But no, if we miss the call of God, if we miss the call of duty, all the sacrifice in the world will not get that lost man saved. All the sacrifice in the world won't get your children saved. But you must obey God. Don't stand back and say, preacher, that's too far to go. You won't say it in judgment. If they're standing next to you, you'll say, thank God I went the distance. Thank God I closed the gap. Thank God that I've done what you wanted me to do. Oh, God, help us here. Amen. Oh, yeah. We got two sons. Here, their conduct was different. One did better than he said, proved better than he promised. His answer was bad, but his actions were good. Amen. Amen. Son number one said, I will not. When you ask somebody to come to the house of God, I don't like to hear them. I mean, an excuse is bad. I mean, that's bad. I've heard every just about kind of excuse that people can give. And none of them are really, they're just saying it. Oh, yeah. But when you come to an outright denial, well, they said, I will not. There's something different about that. That's what this son said. He said, I'll not go. I won't go. I'm not going to do it. Amen. Oh, yeah. There's been many a man, many a woman, boy and girl across the country that God has spoke to them and said, I want you to go. I want you to do it. I want you to do it. I want you to go. I want you to do this. Amen. And they said, no, I'm just going to let it go. I'm just going to let it pass. Amen. Oh, yeah. I was driving a tractor trailer for a friend of mine, and we headed out to California one time and pulled in at this place, and it was his brother's place. We pulled in there to, I don't know, pick up a trailer or something. I don't know what we was doing. But anyway, we stopped there, and there was this man there, and just the first time I'd laid my eyes on him was that day. And the Lord dealt with me as soon as I seen him. You need to talk to him. You need to tell him about Christ. He's in a mess. He needs God. He needs the touch. You need to talk to him. I'm just going to confess something to you here. I'm going to show you just exactly what I'm talking about. Amen. Oh, yeah. I mean, it dealt in my heart. Talk to him. Talk to him. He's lost. You need to talk to him. And here I am, a preacher, and I said, no, Lord, I can't. He's not going to listen to me. He's just not going to pay no attention to me. He's so far out, so far gone, he's not going to listen to me. And I got back in that truck, and we took off. We went 2,400 miles straight to California, stayed a couple days, turned around, come straight 2,400 back. And it was one of them deals where you come in, turn around, and go straight back. I don't like them kind of things. That's what we done. We turned around, come straight back, and wound up right in the same spot. And there was this man there again. And the Lord had dealt with me since we left, and on the way back, you need to talk to him. You need to talk to him. Amen. So he pulled in there the second time, and this time he was more irate than he was the first. I mean, he was talking about how that when people pull out in front of him, he's going to start running them off the road, and he's going to start this and start that, and he ain't putting up with this and putting up with that, and this has been this way, and this has been that way, and it's this. You could just tell that this guy was in a mess. And all the while, Brother Danny, God was dealing with my heart and knocking on me. I mean, a preacher here. God was telling me to talk to him. I said, no, I just can't go that far. Well, the next thing I knew, we made that trip to California, come back, and I wound up doing some little odd jobs for the man I worked for, and and was there. My phone rang and I answered it. And he said, "Hey," he said, "did you hear about so-and-so?" I said, "No, what's going on?" He said, "Well, they found him in his truck in Oklahoma and he killed himself right in his truck." Oh, God, you don't really know what I felt in my soul when I realized that I could have talked to him and I could have closed the gap between him and eternity. I could have said something about God and maybe caused him to still be here today with his wife and two children. But no, I didn't say nothing to him. I'm going to tell you something in this hour. God's going to judge us for who we don't talk to. God's going to judge us for not going the distance. God's going to judge us for not closing the gap. There's going to be too many people die lost, and it's going to be in our hands. The blood's going to drip from our fingers because we didn't tell them. I said this world's a dying lost, and we need to tell them about Jesus. Oh, God, don't stand back and say it's too far to go. Say, "God, I'm going to go. I'm going to do it." Amen. Amen. I didn't have the privilege this son had here. The Bible said that later he changed his mind. He repented and he worked. Brother Horn, I repented because I hadn't spoken to this man, but I couldn't get him back. He was gone. I couldn't get him back. He was gone. Oh, God, help us here. Amen. You know something? There's just something about salvation. When you talk about salvation, I mean, it stirs me up. I've not been the bad sinner. I've not been the rough person. I've not been out there. I've never smoked, never drank. I said one cuss word. Dad brought the judgment of God down on me, and that was the last one I ever said. I mean to tell you, I'm serious as I can be. He brought it down. That's back when you bent them over the bed and wore them slap out. Come on here. How many put the fear of God in me? I'm afraid to ever say it again. Come on here. I've never been in jail. I've never been behind the bars for some kind of crime I've committed. You know why? Because I got to the place one day and realized that at a young age, Daddy said, "Son, if you don't straighten up, if you don't change your ways, hell's waiting on you." I mean, he put the fear of God in me, and I repented and got saved. I've not been to all the bad places some have, but it don't matter. The thing is, it's good to know that what's past can be pardoned, and once it's pardoned, it's past. I mean, once God saves you, I mean, it's forgotten about. It's over. Hey, somebody said, "I cannot go that distance," but I mean to tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ can make it all different. Amen. Woo! Just something about the blood just gets in the mix and changes everything. Woo! Take an old dirty drunk. I mean an old downright low down good for nothing sorry scoundrel. Amen. That's pretty bad, ain't it? I mean, won't provide for his family. What the Bible say was worse than an infidel. That's what the Bible said. I mean, and all, he wasn't worth nothing. But the blood of Jesus Christ can come where he's at and make a preacher out of him and make a man of God out of him. I mean, it's the blood. It's worth going the mile. It's worth going the distance. Hey, don't say that's too far to go. It's worth it. It's worth it to go the mile. It's worth it. Amen. Oh, yeah. It's worth it. Amen. Oh, God. Son number two said better than he did. His answer was good. His actions were bad. Amen. I want you to know something here. The call of God is the same to everybody. But it comes different to different ears. It sounds different in all them years, but it's still the same call. Go work today. Go work today. Go work today. Go work today. Are you hearing me? Go work today. I don't care how old you are, how long you've been saved, how long if you've preached, prophesied, sang, shouted, whatever you've done. It don't matter where you stand. There is work to do in this hour. And first and foremost, Brother Danny, before we can work, we've got to make for sure that we're up to par. We've got to make for sure that when we walk up to them, that we've got something more than they have already. Amen. We've got to walk up to them and offer them something more than they already have. Oh, God. Hey, come on here. I heard a story of a man that knew a young man, been acquainted with him, seen him in church, and this, that, and the other, and kind of got lost track of time and space and time come by. And hadn't seen this young man for a while, and finally saw him in church one time. And they gave this young man an opportunity to testify, and he testified, and he said, yeah. He said, I got this new job, prayed about it for a long time, and got this new job. And he said, now I got this job. You know, I've worked there 2 years, and nobody there knows I'm a Christian. Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm going to tell you something. It's time to wake up and smell it. Amen. It's time to get with it. You know why? Buds and blossoms ain't going to do. I said buds and blossoms ain't going to do. There's got to be some fruit on that tree. Come on here. They've got to be something when you offer them that they can feel what you got. If they don't feel what you got, they're not going to want it. Come on here. We've got to pray and fast and seek God until He endues us with the power from on high. And we talk to them and say, Jesus is coming soon. He's coming like a thief in the night. Are you ready? And the fear of God strikes them. Conviction strikes them. And they make their way to an altar. Fashion altar, and God saves them. Amen. Amen. People are too easily scared out of it. Heard about an old Wesleyan preacher way back years ago. God dealt with him to go to a town and hold a tent meeting. That's still back in the days of telegraphs and telegrams. And there wasn't no such thing as telephones yet. So he wrote it and sent to them and said, such and such a date, I'm coming to your town. I'm going to set up a tent. I'm going to preach. Well, the old bar owner downtown, pretty influential, had money, and probably made the most money in the town, owned that saloon, owned that bar, tavern. He went down and he sent a telegram back and he said, I'm so-and-so. And he said, if you come to our town and set up that tent, he said, I'm going to take my pistol. And he said, I'll whip you to death right there on the spot. Well, the Wesleyan preacher read about that and he said, well, Lord, he said, I've got to go. You've asked me to go. And he said, I'm going. Well, the date rolled around and he made his way down to the town and got his tent all set up. And just a little while, Brother Morton, people started coming in. They started coming in. He was sitting up there behind the pulpit, all just as nervous as he could be. He said, Lord, he said, oh. About that time he was praying. About that time the old tent flap opened up, and there come the biggest man he'd ever laid his eyes on. He said when he walked in, said he just stretched and threw his coat back to show that big pistol on his side. He said, oh, God. He said, Lord, he said, I'd like to preach on judgment. Because he said, if he don't change his ways, you're going to judge him. He said, Lord, he said, I'd like to preach on heaven. He said, because if he changes his ways, he can go to heaven. Lord, he said, I'd like to preach on hell. He said, because if he don't change his ways, he's going to hell. He said it got time for him to preach. And said that big old man sat right down on the front row, right where he could see him. He said he walked to that pulpit and said the only thing come out of his mouth was, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He said about that time, that big old man stood up and he said, Lord, here it goes. He's fixing to do what he promised. Lord, I've preached and I've already said. That big old man stood up and he grabbed that belt and unbuckled it, and that big gun hit the floor. He slid into the altar and he prayed. He began to cry. He began to seek God. And when he got up, Brother Morton, he grabbed that little Wesleyan preacher and hugged him up good and tight. He said, Preacher, I'm so glad that you came to our little town. Amen. Oh, then he walked out of that tent and made his way down to the tavern and he shut the door. And he put clothes up on the door, went on to the house, walked on to the house and went to the door. Instead of kicking the door in like every day before, he just turned the knob and opened the door and walked in. Amen. He hung his hat up on the peg and he said, Woman! He said, God has brought you home a new man. I want you to understand the power of God is still real. And there's a reason today that He's calling for you and I to tell men about the truth, to tell them it's got to be holiness. I said holiness. It's got to be separated. Nothing like the world at all. I mean absolutely separated. If you're not separated, then you're something like the world. Come on here. But I mean different. Oh, it's a dare to be different. But if we're going to take them something, we've got to be different. Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen. That's too far to go, preacher. It better not be. It better not be. It better not be. Oh, God. Amen. I'll tell you what's too far to go. It's the things of this world. That's too far to go. That distance is too great. That distance is too far out. If we in this hour could take our opinions and kill them and do away with our opinions and stand on the infallible Word of God, no matter what we think, what we feel, who influences us and who don't influence us, but if we can take that book and hold it and say, Lord, I'm going to go just ever how far you need me to go. Amen. We were getting ready, things ready to evangelize again. And I thought in my mind that we probably wouldn't be able to do anything until after the first of the year. It just seemed like it would take that long to get some things together. And you know, you got to use wisdom on some things. I mean, I told you the other night, we're not created to be stupid people. I mean, God gave us a little bit of sense. And I know that you don't pull something down the road that's probably going to fall apart going down the road. You got to repair it and get it in the condition to use. Amen. I mean, you don't take off in something with flat tires. You make sure they're there in them. Just sensible things you got to do. So I said, well, after the first year, it'll probably take that long to get everything together. Well, begin to talk about it and pray about it. And I begin to watch him. Just as soon as I made up my mind to do it, I watched that fuel, diesel fuel, jump up to $3.50, $65, almost $70, $3.70 a gallon. I said, man, I remember pumping diesel in a truck when it was 99 cents. And here we are, all this. Why in the world? And the old devil just, boy, that quick didn't take him that long, brother. And he jumped up on my shoulder. He said, see there? Now, what do you think you're doing? You ain't going to pull no trailer across this country and fuel prices like that. Oh, and just for a minute, that kind of got me just for a second. And I said, there's something burning in me. There's something pulling on me. There's something tugging on me. Saying, go, go, go. You got to go. Come on here. Help me preach a few more minutes. I ain't going to preach much longer. There was something jerking on me saying, oh, you got to go. You've got to get out there. That burden was getting heavier and heavier and heavier. Amen. And we had a date scheduled for October the 14th, I believe it was, and way up in Indianapolis, Indiana. And it was a youth rally service. And got a call to come preach that, and it was scheduled, and he said, if you can stay around for the weekend, we can probably keep you busy. Well, that weekend turned into a week, and then that week turned into something else, and everywhere we preached, we pretty much got a schedule to go back, and after the first of the year, I mean, it just got snowballed, and we just stayed busy and busy and busy right then. Amen. And one day when the devil was on my shoulder, Brother Randy, saying, you'll never make it. I told my wife, I said, let's just go through a Wendy's right quick and take it back to the trailer. And let's just eat it there, you know, and just take it back, relax there and eat whatever. So we pulled into a Wendy's and ordered. And noticed this woman in front of us. And I told my wife, I said, boy, I like it. I like what she's driving. And I was talking about what she's driving. And I seen her in the mirror, and I could tell maybe kind of where her hair was. She might have been a church going lady. I don't know. I can't guarantee nothing. I if she slapped me right now, I wouldn't know who she was. I really wouldn't. All I seen was her face in the mirror. Never really spoke to her, and she never really spoke to me. But I noticed she kept looking in the mirror, and that kind of bothered me for just a little bit. Well, she ordered her food and pulled on around. We pulled up and ordered our food, and it comes to $13 and something. Not some odd cents. $13.60, I believe, something like that. And so I pulled up to the window, and my wife and I was talking. I just handed a $20 bill out the window. Just, you know, just they're usually ready. They're like that anyway. And so I just handed out like that, and we was talking, and she never took it. And I turned around, and she was standing there looking at me. And I said, you know, she said, no. She said, that car up in front of you said done paid for your food. I said, excuse me? I mean, it just about knocked me down. I mean, I said, you got no. She said, don't you know? And I said, you know, I said, I don't have no idea who she is. I said, well, you know, we're from out of town. We preach. I said, we might have preached somewhere, and she saw us. And she said, what difference does it make? It's paid for. Hallelujah. It don't seem like much to you, but you know what it was to me? It was God saying, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, I'm going to provide the way, and it's never too far to go when you're working for God. I said, never, never, never is it too far to go. That distance is never too far to travel when somebody's dying lost, when somebody needs God, when somebody needs revival. It's never too far to go. So my advice to you is, let's get up and revive ourselves and say, God, no matter what it is you want me to do, I'm going to go. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we're so unintelligent. I said we get down to pray, and we can't even magnify the name of God for telling Him everything that's wrong. We start counting everything that's wrong. I got up one morning about 3:30, 4 o'clock. Went to the front of the trailer and got down, started praying. And I said, Lord, I've got this situation. I've got this financial thing. I've got this. And I've got that. And I've done that for probably 2 or 3 minutes. And finally, it just hit me. Why are you telling God? He already knows. And besides that, He's already got an answer. Wow! I don't know about you, but I'm not a rich man. I really ain't. I'm really not rich. I mean, these clothes, they're old as they can be. I mean, they got stains on them. You might not have noticed, but they got stains on them. I need to take them to the dry cleaners. Amen. They're just old and just Christmas presents and this, that, and the other. And God has blessed us. But we went to a little church. It was 20 people there, including us. We was praying. God, We need you to help us. And I was saying, Lord, I need to preach to these people and help them. Burden was on my heart to preach to them and help them. They took that offering up. And I'm not saying this for no reason. I'm just telling you. It don't matter how far it is. It's worth going the mile. They took up that offering. And he announced that offering. And there's a man that goes to that church that has signed on here and to this website here, and he's listened to us preach before and listened to the singing from this church, and he actually goes to this church, and he may hear this, I don't know. But they took up that offering, and that pastor announced it. Man, I shouldn't even be talking about this, but they took up that offering, he announced it. It was $218. I was thinking, I just can't believe this. Why couldn't I believe it? It was God. I'm not giving you no pity story. I'm just telling you that when you think you got it figured out, God's got another plan. I said, God's got another plan. He's the one who got it figured out. He's not going to ask you to do something that He don't have a plan for. Hey, come on here. These billions of dollars worth of buildings, they don't never start the first thing until they got a blueprint. God's got it figured out. God's got it figured out. Amen. Amen. I hope you don't take that wrong. I hope you don't take that wrong. I just want you to know that God is able. Amen. God's able. God's able. Well, I've appreciated this service. I've appreciated this service, Brother Horn. I mean, I have. And I really feel like it's just going to get better. Just going to get better. Amen. What is it that's better than, like Ezekiel said, that wheel in a wheel just begins to turn over? Jeremiah said, I'm not going to speak His name. I'm not going to preach it anymore. But he said, it's like a fire shut up in my bones. I just can't sit still. I just can't be still. I mean, you go out into the world, they look at you kind of funny when all you're walking along, and all of a sudden you just kind of jerk just a little bit. And the power of God hits you just somewhat. Maybe walking down the aisle of Walmart. I'm not talking about being stupid and charismatic. I'm just talking about when God really touches you. And somebody said, well, I wonder what's the matter with them. Well, what's the matter with me is probably I just came out of another valley. I just came up through another valley. I'm headed toward the mountain. And I just realized that God's going to help me. God just spoke to me. God just talked to me. God just moved on me and let me know that He was going to help me no matter how far I gotta go. He's gonna be right there. He said He'd never leave us, never forsake us, but He'd be with us always, even to the end of the world. Stand if He would. Amen. Amen. Oh God. Oh God. Amen. Amen. It's not too far to go. It's not too far to go. When it's for God. When it's for God. Oh, God. The devil says, well, no sense in you trying, no sense in you fighting. Time to just give up. No. It's time to just tighten it up and get a little closer. It's time to just tighten up. Get a little closer. If we lay aside some things that we really don't agree with, and we get closer to God just simply because we feel like that's what we need to do, and we stand before God on judgment, and He looks at us and He says, you've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter in thou to the joys of the Lord. Now after He said that, you start to take a step. He puts His hand out and He says, some of those things that you gave up. And I'm not talking about the things the Bible said's wrong. I'm talking about personal convictions. Things that God has dealt with you on just for you to get closer to Him. Amen. I'm not talking about the doctrines and the ordinances that God's laid out. I'm talking about personal convictions. What if he says those personal convictions that you laid aside, you really didn't have to do that, but you did. And at that point, what difference would it make? He's done said enter in. So it was worth the mile. It was worth the heartache. It's worth the trouble. Amen.